News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and moneyline.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Had a lot of juice. Like, for the first quarter and a half, it felt exactly like the game I expected. Low scoring, not a lot of offense. One team who is awful, and the other team is good, at least with a great record, who has some flaws. But then the snow happened, and I don't want to be a sheep, because normally I like to play contrarian. Well, not even play it, it's just kind of my personality. I didn't want to be the person who agrees with everyone, at least most people on Twitter, and like, you know what? I love a snow game. But when it's two teams that I don't care that much about and the weather doesn't affect how my team's going to perform, give me snow. We all remember, at least if you played Madden, snow games were fun. You throw on the weather, you hope for a heavy snow, and you go at it. I liked what happened yesterday. I know there are some people who believe every stadium should have a dome or a retractable roof. I say to those people, what do you have against fun? Like, I get it if your team is involved and your team is being limited by the weather, and now the odds are even. If you have a better team, the weather has brought the other team closer to your team. I get not wanting bad weather to be in play, but if you don't root for the Steelers or the Browns, why do you care how bad the weather is? Go out there and watch Jameis Winston, squinting his eyes to see if he can throw a football. That's the same Jameis I remember at Florida State. If you remember Jameis from Florida State, every time he looked to the sideline, it looked like he couldn't see. And yeah, he had vision issues, and he was always squinting.
But he got LASIK.
But the snow. The difference now is the snow blindness. The snow and the wind was in his eyes when he was going a certain direction. Like, that's the Jameis I remember. I won't say the good old days because, you know, he did some things. But yeah, the Jameis, the Heisman Trophy winner, the national champion. That's the Jameis that we saw yesterday as far as the squinting. And he played big down late as the Browns took a lead late. Nick Chubb's touchdown run, and they eventually go on to win the game. And I like the snow because it brought this quote from George Pickens. George Pickens is my favorite NFL player for guys who I don't care if they're successful or not. Just as far as the energy that George Pickens brings to a game, he couldn't be anything but messy last night. He had the final confrontation with Greg Newsom on the Hail Mary, where they both were more concerned with winning the physical battle as opposed to getting to the football. The final play of the game was an incomplete Hail Mary as the Browns held on. And George Pickens wound up almost in the stands, nearly got into a fight. And we have some sound from him where he talks about the game itself. And I like this energy because you just lost. And I'm sure you can't stand the Browns, and you lost to what was a 2-8 football team. So you're not going to just leave without getting your piece. And here's George Pickens after the game discussing the game itself.
what do you guys try to take away from this loss? What's the message, you know, in the locker room?
Just keep grinding. Like I said, conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
He did go on to blame the refs as well. He said the away refs helped the Browns win. I appreciate the pettiness. And he's right. The Browns aren't a good football team. But, you know, typically once a team beats you, minutes after the game, you don't come out and say how not good they are. That's just not how it works. But I appreciate George Pickens not being like everyone else. The Browns suck. The Browns are bad. And acknowledging they're bad after they beat you isn't the way football likes to do things or any team sports likes to do things. But he ain't wrong. And the Browns are salty on their side, too. I didn't remember this, but last season when I believe Myles Garrett won Defensive Player of the Year, his numbers weren't as good. At least counting numbers weren't as good as T.J. Watt. Then T.J. Watt pretty much wrote, I think, on Twitter, typical when Myles Garrett won. And Myles Garrett remembered, so much so that in their first matchup after the game, by the way, a game where Myles Garrett dominated, he had 3 sacks in that first half. He was unblockable. It was just a terror in that game. He remembered T.J. Watt. He remembered what he wrote. And here's Myles Garrett after the game talking about the difference between the two.
I mean, we spoke of the coin toss, but that's about it. You know, like I said, I got a lot of respect for him, a lot of respect for, you know, all the guys over there, and you know, the edge rusher in the league. But I'm number one, and you know, that's from edge defender one, edge one to defensive player of the year. I'm the guy, so that runs through me. There's no other person being defended as I am, or schemed or planned against like I am. So. This goes to show, no, you can throw it out the window. I'm going to find a way.
Myles Garrett, last night after the game. I ain't looking at Browns games on a week-to-week basis. Why would I punish myself with that? But if he believes that and that's true, I appreciate letting T.J. Watt know. Because J.J. jumped on too. Obviously, the brothers thought that T.J. should have won that award. Myles Garrett was like, nah, that belongs to me, and it still runs through me. Myles Garrett, after the 3 sacks last night, now has 10. T.J. Watt has 7.5 on the year. And in a game, as I said, that didn't have much as far as juice, at least in my eyes, going in. It provided all the juice I needed for a Thursday night. There was no Rockets on. They'll be back in action tonight against the Blazers. Obviously, the Texans-Titans is on Sunday. We did have a great college football game as far as the ending. But thank you, NFL. I mean, I don't thank you guys enough. I don't thank the NFL enough for what they provide for me, mostly because, for the most part, their product isn't great. I got to be honest, there's a lot of bad football being played. But last night, good football, bad football, whatever you want to call it, give me that. Give me weather. Who's on? Well, next Thursday's Thanksgiving. We got 3 of them. We're going to have the Cowboys. Unfortunately, they won't open a roof if it's bad weather.
To be fair, that's for safety reasons.
Now it's for safety reasons, yes. They had to close it for the Monday night game because of safety issues and then bolt a loose, I don't know, piece of metal to the rest of the stadium to keep it from falling after that initial piece fell. We've got Lions, then the night game, I believe, is
Dolphins.
So we might get bad weather there. I looked at the weather. It'll be cold.
Well, in Miami? Yeah.
No, it's in Green Bay.
Oh.
It'll be cold, but snow isn't in the forecast. But you'll just see guys seeing their own breath when they breathe. So that looks like the best we can get as far as bad weather on a Thursday night. I just need Thursday nights from now on, because they're typically not great matchups.
Yeah.
Make sure they're in northern cities.
Entertain me a little.
Outside. Or just find a way to entertain me. Some goofy things happening to get me through the 3 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to dance around watching Fitzpatrick and Whitworth. Give me something entertaining on the field. And we got that last night.
Yeah. If you're not going to deliver a good game, give me a
weather
game.
Event.
Yeah, a decent game that has visible snow for the entire second
half. And there wasn't enough wind there was some going one way, but it wasn't enough to completely derail trying to play offense. But the weather was something where it was an element that had to be worked around, and the Browns did a good enough job doing it. And Jameis Winston, who was at his best before and after the game. Nice win by Jameis. He was excited to play. He talked about that before, being able to play for the Cleveland Browns, and he said, you're not a Brown until you beat the Steelers. Now he's a Brown. What a thing to put on your resume. Now I'm a Brown. You know what? Yeah. Take it. I don't ever want to be a Brown.
Heisman, number one overall pick.
National champion.
National champion.
A Brown. I'm officially a Brown because I beat the Steelers. Not exactly an accomplishment I would want to mark down on the resume. But he said, hey, he's proud to be there, happy to be there, and they get the win. And it muddies up the Steelers' chances. I mean, if we're talking about percentages, their percentages have dropped like about 30% or so. Probably a little less, maybe around 20% or so to win the division after losing that game. They still lead the division. For now, they have a tiebreaker against the Ravens. They will play the Ravens one more time. The Ravens have the Chargers on Monday night, so I can't imagine the Ravens being 7-5. That isn't something I would have considered, but it's a real possibility. They do have to go to L.A. against the Chargers team that is surprising people. So that's kind of the breakdown of what happened last night. We have news regarding Alex Bregman, as far as the Astros are concerned. They did make an offer, a formal one, but because it's baseball, we don't know what it is, and we probably won't find out until there's an autopsy done, whether he's here or someplace else. We won't find out what that number is until everything's all said and done. I need better leaks. Where's the we've talked about this before. There's no Shams. There's no, well, formerly Woj. There's none of that. There's no Schefter. There's no Rappaport. I need a number. I need to know who to blame if this doesn't go the way we want. Is Jim Crane too cheap? Or is Alex Bregman asking for too much? The rumors of a potential ask for a Manny Machado-type deal are out there, but I don't know what the actual costs will be. So I can't call him a money-grubbing athlete quite yet, and I can't call Jim Crane a too cheap owner who won't spend on his team quite yet. I need an official number. We will see if that comes out. We will get to some Texan stuff, particularly Matt Burke. He spoke yesterday. He talked about Danielle Hunter. Danielle Hunter had a big second half for that Texans team against that bad Cowboys offensive line. So we'll hear from him on that and how that came about. We'll also find out, since it's Titans week and there's not a lot to talk about with the Titans other than please block Jeffrey Simmons. Apparently, one of their ex-coaches is a chaos agent. I'll tell that story. He doesn't like the ownership as much as most of us here don't. We'll get to that as well. We do, I believe, still have tickets for the Cougs versus Baylor. So we'll have a pair of tickets if you want to go see the Cougs versus Baylor. And, of course, you want to get in, you can 713-780-3776. And it's Friday, so we're going to hear from Michael Carroll. He'll tell you what you should or shouldn't watch as we get closer and closer to Thanksgiving. So I don't know if Michael will join us next week because we will be out on Friday, so maybe he'll kind of set you up about what you should be watching for the next couple weekends as well. So we're just getting started here. Sean and I will do some college football stuff as well. And we will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Something just popped up that I want to ask you about, Sean. See if you agree with this. It's about Jalen Green. This comes from Danny Chow of The Ringer. He says, if Jalen Green wants to fully maximize what he can be, he needs to change the way he plays. Look, we make the jokes about the shooting and the tour dates he puts up, but I had not seen this before, and it kind of strikes a chord of being true. So he says this: part of the growing process will be stripping away the notions of his game that no longer serve him. Green finds himself tracing a lineage of volume scorers in the vein of Jamal Crawford and Zach LaVine, but he doesn't possess the handling wizardry of Crawford or the elite deep range consistency of LaVine. But he does have some of the most explosive downhill driving ability in the league. Best harness in an offense that can get him the ball against an already tilted defense. The sooner Green realizes his destiny as a play finisher rather than an initiator, the sooner he can actualize his considerable gifts on a Rockets team full of untapped potential. The thought of Jalen Green not being an initiator but attacking defenses after they've already shifted seems right to me. He's not an exceptional shooter. He is a guy who can get his own shot, but those shots don't tend to go in as much as you'd like, although he's not actually a great off-the-catch shooter either right now. But as a slasher and attacker, attacking guys on closeouts, it's pretty dynamic. Most of his highlights right now and most of his success, it feels like, is attacking the basket off those type of situations. I don't think what Danny Chow is saying is incorrect. Now, will Jalen Green be a person who says, you know what, I should play off the ball more? I'm someone who should be waiting for the defense to shift before I attack, a secondary initiator. I don't know, because the best in the league, the guys who get most of the acclaim, are those on-ball guys. And, of course, he's going to believe right now that's what he can be. So after hearing what Danny Chow wrote and watching Jalen Green over the better part of 3+ years now, what do you think?
I think it's pretty clear that night to night, the best source of offense is Alperen Şengün and playing off of him, especially in the Rockets lineup. So if you're going to give the ball to your best player more, that means other guys are going to play off the ball. I will say, and a guy who's as good of a passer as Alperen Şengün, you get Jalen Green cutting, you can really make some noise there. One thing is, though, will he be able to attack closeouts catching the ball when no one closes out on him because he's not a good shooter?
Yeah, when will that officially be something that teams do?
like
going under screens is one thing, but treating him like a non-threat until he proves otherwise? Like, he's going to take those shots, so it looks bad if you don't close out hard and he knocks down an open jumper. But is Jalen Green shooting so poorly that he needs to prove that he can knock down shots off the catch?
Yeah, that's a little bit of, like, a lot of where you are in the NBA right now is, like, actually just shooting it, just so you're telling the defense that you are a threat. There is value to that, where you don't want to, like, Ben Simmons yourself, where now you're just not guarded out there. So that there's some level of that, of, like, you just need to be guarded. That's why Amin Thompson will shoot him. It's just,
yeah, you have to.
Sometimes you're so open that in the NBA you just have to shoot.
You have to make people believe you're willing to take and eventually make those shots.
And Jalen Green is, like, way over that.
Yeah, he's definitely willing to take them.
Yeah, he's like 5 shots per game before having to worry about that. But I don't see how you can see the fall off, not even the fall off really, of Jalen Green. Just he hasn't been able to sustain what he did the first, what, month of the season? Or not even month, in October.
Yeah, the first 2 games against the Spurs.
2 weeks of the season. So, I mean, he's shooting 26% from 3 in the month of November. That's 11 games. He was shooting 40 in the 5 games in October. So, yeah, this is more kind of in line with, or not really in line. It's a little bit worse. It's regression, but his overall numbers are basically what he's been as of late. So I think we're kind of just back to our pre-March evaluation, although he is better at the other stuff. That is something where he's not complete zero out there when the shot isn't falling like he was for a lot of last year.
Yeah, he has been able to contribute in other ways. I mean, at some point you just have to get in line with what the guys on defense are doing. You can't be the one guy that gets picked on. You have to. It's just a culture thing at this point where everybody's digging in. Alperen's been a better defender, and of course we know about the Terra Twins. Everyone wants to get after it. You will stand out if you don't try and try to get after it on defense with this Rockets team. And they'll be back in action tonight against those Portland Trailblazers. So I don't think we are in for a dramatic shift in the way he plays right now. I think just a young player isn't going to be someone who accepts that the way he's played his entire life is going to need to change to be a better player. But there's some truth into what's been written, and we will see. We will see if Jalen Green exceeds being someone who's more of a secondary option and a guy who isn't an initiator. And that'll come to when he becomes more efficient with the ball in his hand. So just something to take a look at over the course of the year as the Rockets. I wouldn't even call it a problem as far as Jalen Green is concerned, but they don't have many issues right now outside of maybe half court execution. That's why right now they are now what a game still a game out in the West. Speaking of basketball last night in the Western Conference, shout out to AD missing a couple free throws late that could have given the Lakers a four point lead, 2-possession lead late, and then Franz Wagner comes down and knocks down a three. On ball, step back three, knocks it down, and then AD misses a jumper that could have won the game. So not exactly a great final 30 seconds or so for Anthony Davis. It was a good game last night. If you had enough of sports, you're like, I'm going to bed. That one wasn't bad last night after the NFL game was off. So it's unfortunate to say, but the Lakers are pretty good.
They're good. They're good. I don't think they're really good. I still want to see a little bit more before we throw contender at them. Just like, I don't know. They're closing with Austin Reeves, Dalton Connect.
It doesn't make you think that team can get a lot of stops.
Yeah.
I know they have AD and obviously elder LeBron. And
yeah.
When he wants to try, he can get after it a little bit defensively. But even there used to be a point where he would take like possessions off, and that's why he was bad. Now he's just not capable.
Yeah.
Even when he does try, but yeah, they have some guys that will get attacked in closing lineups.
Just like they went offense for defense a little bit for the last Franz shot, and the matchup that they wanted on Franz Wagner from the entire team, they could pick anyone. They picked Cam Reddish.
Yeah,
that's where you're like, oh, this is still a little bit of the last couple of years Lakers here, where there's only so many buttons you can push,
and there's a drop off.
Yeah, the roster isn't good.
Yeah, it's not.
They have three good players.
Yeah, they don't have
two and a half really,
and they don't have a lot of guys where you can say that guy doesn't suck. Like you have obviously a Hall of Famer, you have another potential Hall of Famer in AD, you have a rookie you're depending on Austin Reeves, but the rest is like. And D'Lo, whatever, the shot's not going down. He's not a plus.
You get to Hachimura really fast.
Yeah, so they're 1.5 games back after the loss. Not that it matters so much, but the Rockets now third in the Western Conference behind the Thunder and the Warriors. So yeah, if we're comparing teams in the West right now, as far as 1 through 8 or so, the Lakers. If we just use those top four, the Lakers as far as depth of roster. Falling behind the rest of those guys. I would think, although you look at the Warriors and player for player, you're like, I'm not sure about that guy. What do they get to, like 4? Maybe 5?
Oh, of like, this is a guy?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you have this top end in Steph, but you look at Draymond, great defender, Kuminga, Wiggins, Pods.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd put Pods and Wiggins.
Yeah, so they're probably, and Kevon Looney definitely serves a purpose, and Gary Payton.
Oh, Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield.
And DeAnthony Melton just got hurt, so
yeah.
They are deeper than the Lakers, and as I said, I think the Lakers fall. If we want to use the top four of the West right now as the contenders, put that in quotes,
yeah,
the Lakers are the worst roster.
They're the pretender.
Yes, and of course, the Wolves just dropped the game to Toronto, so. Who knew? Trading for Julius Randle wouldn't be a good idea.
PU, that's 10 seed business.
Yeah, why are we talking about them?
We don't deal with that.
Yeah, the Wolves losing to the Toronto Raptors. Play-in,
then maybe we'll play.
I told you, I think I even talked about it yesterday. Toronto won't win a lot of games, but they're scrappy.
They're feisty.
They won. They got one over the Wolves who they had a great Rudy Gobert moment in the game where Julius Randle's staring at him, and he wouldn't throw him the basketball in the post. And Rudy's like, I got a small on me. Throw me the ball. Julius Randle wouldn't throw it to him. And then Rudy like casually strolled out of the paint and got a 3-second call. And Anthony Edwards was like, What are you doing? And then later in the game, after the game was pretty much in hand, Julius Randle did throw him the ball, and Rudy just dropped it. He just bobbled it. So, all right, I'll give you the ball now with like 5 seconds to go. So,
you know what? Let's give him time to figure this out.
It's only 15 games.
Yeah. Hey, the Heatles started like, what, like 8-10 or something?
So. 8-9, I believe.
Yeah.
I think the ninth game was the shoulder chuck. I think
that was my favorite game.
Yeah, the one you like to reference as.
Every time a coach does something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like to think back to why can't some guy just shoulder chuck that coach like LeBron did to Spo?
Just do that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm in Thompson. Want more minutes?
And look what happened. He does that little shoulder bump, and the Heat take off.
Yeah, exactly.
4 years of finals after that bump.
So Chris Finch, Watch your shoulder.
Who's the most likely guy to do it? Julius Randle. Yeah, probably.
Randle, Edwards, 1-2.
If we're talking about matching LeBron's, it would have to be Edwards.
Yes.
Edwards. Actually, thematically, it was LeBron's first year, and Wade was the centerpiece and had been with the team. So Edwards fits the Wade category. So it has to be Randle. I wish DiVincenzo would do it.
Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
Yeah.
Probably not Ingles.
No. Joe Ingles doesn't get off the floor. Doesn't get off the bench. How much time is he sitting in a chair?
Nas Reed is a sleeper for this one.
Possibly. So that's kind of it wasn't a lot going on in the NBA just because they don't like to fight football. They don't have a lot of games on. But those were a couple last night. The Wolves, surprisingly not so great this year. And as Sean said, give them some time. They did make a big trade right before the season started. They have not gelled quite well. We'll see what they do. I think the Rockets may be playing them coming up here. Part of the Rockets step up in competition here. The Blazers are another scrappy team. But they do have two against them. And those should be wins. And I think they do have the Wolves coming up here in a little bit. In the NBA Cup on Tuesday. It's a big game. The Wolves, who already are behind the Rockets as far as that concerned after their loss to the Blazers. So let's not give a game back.
No, take care of business tonight in the Cup. And keep it moving.
Yeah. Jeff, I see you. You want to talk CJ Stroud? We'll get to you when we come back. Also, anyone else want to get in, 713-780-3776. But first, let's talk about Prize Picks.
Yeah, Prize Picks. We're just talking about it's Cup night. It's best night to get in on a little NBA Moors, because if you think a team is going to win, or if you like a certain matchup for a player, well, it's a Cup night. They're going to keep going to it. They have to do it for point differential reasons, so they're not going to pull their starters late. Or if they are, it's going to be very late when they pull their starters. So, hey, maybe you like some Alperen Şengün more than 35.5 points, rebounds, assists. Maybe you think that we're haters of Jalen Green, even though we were pretty fair about it, and you like more than 19.5 points for Jalen Green. And what Prize Picks is doing right now, they're doing this something very nice for the holiday season. They're offering a special player projection for Tyreek Hill on his for the Dolphins and Packers Thanksgiving Day game. So next Thursday, his normal 69.5 receiving yard projection slashed to just half a yard. So if you think that Tyreek Hill can get 1 yard on Thanksgiving against a Packers team that just lost Zaire Alexander, or appears to have lost Zaire Alexander. So if you like that, you can get in, and you just need one more correct pick, and you can make some money on Prize Picks. Download Prize Picks today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Let's get to Jeff here. He wants to talk about CJ Stroud. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, I just had a question for you. I noticed, in my mind, I've been saying for a couple of weeks, texting you guys, why wouldn't CJ, if he's under such pressure, which I understand is the line, just take a couple steps back farther? And it seems like, I mean, it might be the opponent, maybe it was just me, but it seemed like he did a lot better, whether he's under center or under shotgun, just taking a couple extra steps back where he can see the field better. And he seemed like he played a lot better doing that. I don't know if you guys picked up on that, if it's just my opinion, but I mean, you can go back as far as you want. Obviously the shorter players go back with the farther probably can see over the line. But in CJ's case, with the line being so bad, it seems like if he steps back a couple extra feet, he does a lot better. Did you guys notice that at all, or is that just me? I'll hang up and listen. Great show, guys.
Appreciate it, Jeff. I didn't notice that. I would tell you they tell quarterbacks, unless, as you mentioned, guys are a little shorter, they need to get away from the line, so it's part of their game, that you're changing the angle for the pass rusher and you're hurting your offensive line. That's why guys generally step up as opposed to fade back when they feel pressure, unless it's up the middle. The offensive line expects you to be at a certain point. So not all sacks are created equal. Some sacks are on the quarterback because they give the pass rusher an angle to them that the offensive line isn't expecting, particularly your tackles. But I didn't notice that against the Cowboys, so it'd be something I'd have to look at and see whether he did whether he did play further away from the line than normal. The offensive line as a whole played better against the Cowboys. They did not allow for their quarterback to be bothered as much as he had been up to that point this year. I mean, it has something to do with the change. There's no Kenyon Green anymore. They made the switch to move Patterson in and make him a center and switch Scruggs, who was a center, to guard. So they did switch some things up, and they were better against the Lions. They didn't run block well. That changed on Monday against the Cowboys, so hopefully they found their answer. And I don't know. I didn't notice the CJ playing further away from the line. It would be interesting to see if that was the case. I don't think the offensive line would appreciate it, though. Not your tackles.
Yeah, they normally don't like it, because then the rush can just take a different angle around them.
You get beat by speed more and around you, and you know, they try to push you back past the quarterback, and if you're playing further away, it doesn't help. So, but hey, whatever it takes, right? Whatever it takes for them to operate better than they have, we'll take it. And they get a challenge in Simmons on Sunday. One of the better interior pass rushers, just one of the better talents overall in the defensive line. And
Watch it. Miles Garrett's going to get mad at you.
I didn't say the best talent. I said one of the better talents. Careful. I didn't say he should win Defensive Player of the Year. I just said he's one of the better talent. I think Miles Garrett can acknowledge that other players are good, just not better than him. Okay. Right? All right?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't want to.
I don't want to say what Miles Garrett can and cannot accept.
Okay, that's fine. Let's not project what I think he should accept. Mm-hmm. I don't want to upset.
He's a grown man. He can do whatever he wants.
That's right. I don't want to upset the Aggie. When we're getting closer and closer to Aggies versus Longhorns.
Yeah. Oh, we're trying to book them for, for next week?
We're not. I don't expect that to happen. But it's good that you mentioned that, because on November 30th, the rivalry is renewed. A&M faces off against Texas at Kyle Field. You can stay tuned to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for extensive coverage of this historic game presented by Rebecca Creek Distillery. You'll hear interviews with guests from both sides and spirited conversations from all our hosts. Also, connect to our coverage on ESPN Houston YouTube channel and social media. Enjoy Rebecca Creek Whiskey, Enchanted Rock Vodka, and Texas Ranger Whiskey, not from the Texas Rangers, the actual Texas Rangers, like Walker. Those Texas Rangers.
Wow.
I don't think Chuck Norris is involved, but I'm just trying to give you some context.
Yeah.
Not the Ron Washington Texas Rangers. And Texas Ranger Whiskey to celebrate the rivalry's return. Kick 'em and hook 'em. Thank you to Rebecca Creek Whiskey. That coverage will begin in earnest on Monday, because it's a big week. But let's get through the games this Saturday first. Let's not look ahead, Rebecca Creek.
Yeah.
We've got games.
We've got to lock in.
Yeah, we got games against Auburn and Kentucky, right?
Respectively, yes.
Yes, we got to lock in. So these games on Saturday, hopefully they go the way they should, and then we have a game where, I guess, winning you're in as far as the SEC title game is concerned.
Why don't we get interviews from both sides of the Texas-Kentucky rivalry? Why don't we do that?
Because no one can remember any time that they've ever played before. I'm not saying they have never.
They have played before, but a long time ago. But did you see this? Did you hear about this? This
probably
fun fact
not.
About Kentucky football?
Let me hear it.
The farthest west that Kentucky football has ever played is Austin, Texas.
Yeah, no, not a lot of, hey, you want to come out and play UCLA? I don't think, not a
Arizona
lot of,
bowl game?
Not like, a lot of that.
They have bowl games in Arizona.
Yeah, but for SEC teams? I don't think so.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah,
maybe not a Fiesta Bowl or a,
yeah, they've never
what
been.
What was the other one? There's like a lower end one that played at
the where the Diamondbacks play. Yeah, I forgot what it's called. Wasn't Invesco, was it? I don't know what it's called, but I know what you're talking about. They've never been, that's generally been a Big 12 Pac-12 game for the most
normally
part?
It's a Big 12, Pac-12.
Yeah, so they're not sending Kentucky out to the West unless they happen to make a Rose Bowl, which has never happened. So
yeah, but it's a, I mean,
it is kind of a thing where Kentucky crazy. could never be welcome in by one of the West Coast schools for a game. Home and home,
or just schedule a home and home.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. They've
LSU
never been able
to play a home and home with UCLA twice.
Yes, but LSU is a brand that Kentucky isn't. Like, Kentucky's played UCLA in basketball on the West Coast, but as far as their football team, no one's. I guess no one's looking for that for either school.
Play Washington State, then. I don't know.
Washington State's not looking for that. Kentucky doesn't want to go up to the Palouse.
No one wants to go up to the
Palouse. Oh, speaking of that, it's the Pac-12 championship game this weekend.
Yeah.
And you say, how could that be? Well, it's still a conference, and only two teams playing it, and they have not played yet, so here it is. It won't. They should really have a logo. I don't think they will. It'll just be a home game for, who is it, Oregon State maybe? But they should put the logo in the middle and call it the Pac-12 title game. In fact, just put it in Vegas like you used to. Just put the game in Vegas.
Yeah, you still have a contract.
Yeah, you still have a contract. Put the game in Vegas. Why not? Just to be, hey, I know you guys think this is funny. We kind of think it's funny, but let's do it.
Yeah,
the problem is who's going to show up to the game?
Yeah. You know next year that they have a home and home?
They
play twice next season.
Why?
Because scheduling. Like
they need it to get the games?
Well, yeah. It's hard to schedule non-conference games in November.
True.
And so,
that's very true.
So I think they play once in October, once in November.
That has happened with ACC schools where North Carolina and Wake Forest played a non-conference game.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a conference game to play. I don't think I've ever seen the NFL model for a college football season.
I like it. It's like a home leg and a road leg. And
yeah, who wins on the aggregate?
That's how they should do it. They should do it on the aggregate.
Yeah, for some reason, Oregon State gets run out of the building in their first game, and they have a turnaround the second.
Yeah. They're starting down 20-0 or
something.
Yeah,
you got to put up – yeah, you got to keep trying. Even if you're up two scores late, you got to score that last touchdown to win the series.
A road touchdown, too.
Road touchdowns matter more.
Important road touchdown.
Of course, they always matter more. But that's an interesting thing. Sean bringing some factoids to the show. I did not know they were going to play twice.
I'm just full of random facts that no one asked about how far Kentucky has played and the Pac-12 next season.
You're this show's Tim Kirkjian for college football, though. We appreciate you.
No problem. Big shoes. Well, not that big of shoes.
He's a relatively diminutive man. What you need to do is develop an impression. You won't be here next Monday, but when you're back after the Thanksgiving break.
Oregon State and Washington State. Exactly. They're so good.
This is what I'm talking about. If you're going to be our show's Tim Kirkjian, you need to develop the impression. Why
not? Kentucky has never played farther west. than I-35.
It's funnier if you do it that way. It's much. The facts are fine, but now it's funny.
He almost got Muppet-ish there.
Well, it's all what we all do when we try to do the Kirkjian impression. Just how it is. All right. Not that we'll ever get back on track on this show, but we'll get to break here. But first, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. Can Tim Kirkjian speak for Monument Chevrolet? No. He can't. He won't. But I will, because Monument Chevrolet is family-owned, and they've been in business for 50 years. And what does that mean? They've been serving the community a long time and getting them great cars and getting them great deals, and that's very important to them. No hidden fees, no upcharges, so the price is always going to be the price. You're not going to work through a deal, and then they go, oh, we forgot to mention this. That doesn't happen there. They're not pushy. They're friendly, and they want to get you out, in and out as quickly as possible. That means they know. Drive a new car is great. Getting one is great. But the process, that can be a little painful. So they want to make it as easy for you as possible. So you can check out all they have to offer on MonumentChevrolet.com. And then head on out there. 3940 Pasadena Freeway off of Beltway 8 and 225. You can check out their new cars like the Silverados or the Colorados. Or maybe some of their pre-owned vehicles. And if you're a business owner, they have the sixth largest fleet in the country. So add to your fleet. Or maybe you're just starting a business and you need just one vehicle that can take care of you there too. And remember this, their monthly deal is this. Monument Chevrolet, you go there, you get 1.9% financing on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado, 1500 crew cab, 1500 crew cab rally sport truck with a 5.3 liter engine. And if you're looking for an electric vehicle, they have those too. You can choose an all new electric vehicle with 0% financing for 60 months for well-qualified buyers. Head on out there. Check out the friendly staff, including Jonathan, who is their salesperson of the week. Remember, Chevy, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We've got a special guest joining us. He probably should call in next week, too, to be our Texas representative as we get really in-depth into Texas A&M. We can hear about his thoughts on the rivalry, his greatest moments, how much does he love Justin Tucker for what he did to end the rivalry, but now it's back. But I don't know if this is the direction he wants to go in this week. Raheel Ramchandani joins the show, host of Comicat. No, I was going to make a joke and call it CityCast, and then I went Comicast, but it's CityCast. Were you telling the truth when you said that someone saw you out and about and yelled City Cats?
Yes, absolutely, 100% true. I was at my daughter's volleyball tournament, and I'm walking to my car to go get something, and all of a sudden, some guy just yells at me, and he goes, "Hey, City Cats!"
Damn
and
it, John.
At that moment, that's when I wanted to call the Texas Radio Hall of Fame and leak stories about John and Land so they are thrown out of the Hall of Fame.
It wouldn't take much. I mean, we've got them. I mean, just I don't know if you could get someone to mine the group chat for information. It'd be over for them pretty quickly.
It would be. The problem with leaking stuff about John and Lance is that we would also get in trouble. Because
that's not we. Don't we anything. Hey, no, don't snitch on me. Now. Don't we.
You're part of it.
No, I'm always a voice of reason in that thing. Going, hey, guys, should we be talking about this right now? But everyone shouts me down.
Sure.
No, I'm a hostage, not an accomplice.
You can leave that group chat anytime you want, but we'll add you back in.
Yeah, so there's no point.
So
beyond the fact that you have people calling the name of your podcast the wrong thing when you're in public just hanging out with your family, what else did you want to talk about?
Okay, I have two things, and you tell me what you want me to talk about first.
Oh, okay.
I watched Gladiator 2 last night. I got caught into the hype, and I have a spoiler-free review. I don't want to step on Michael Carroll's toes, but I just have a spoiler-free review. And then the second one, the best sports topics to bring up at Thanksgiving that will guarantee a good argument / fight.
I think you've worked on the second one more, so let's go with the first. No, go ahead. Go ahead with your second. Your second topic, topics.
I mean, I
at Thanksgiving.
I wanted to workshop this with you. Yeah. That's what this show is for, is to workshop my ideas.
Your thing. You want, okay, because you've got family coming in, right? You're going to be around your family, so you need to know what's going to work and what won't work. But you have to realize, I don't know how many, your family's not like us. I mean, my job is to talk about sports. It wasn't the Kendrick reference, Shauna. You made a head nod. It wasn't the Kendrick reference. But we work. I'm in a bubble of sports. That's what I have to know. So you have to, I don't know if you can be as deep diving into your sports topics, but go ahead.
So one, I think the easiest one is, you can always go back to this one, LeBron MJ, right? Oh. Like, just to get things going, just to warm things up, right?
Sure.
Like, that's a good one, right? You go LeBron MJ, then, you know, I'll step in and of course I'll be like, well, what about Kobe? Let's look at Kobe's accolades and what he did. You know,
can't forget about the Mamba. Player.
Yeah, you can't, you know, Mamba mentality. You can't forget about that. So that's an easy one to lather things up. And Sean, please, you know, you can also workshop with us. For our Houston friends and family, maybe we do an Astrodome conversation next. What should we do with the Astrodome? It's basically what summer radio topics are best for a conversation starting.
So have you considered best Houston athletes of all time?
Ooh,
Mount Rushmore.
I like that.
Mount Rushmore of Houston athletes. I was trying to give him some separation so it could sound like he was being unique as opposed to doing the Mount Rushmore thing. But sure, the top four Houston athletes of all time, or you can do your sports figure in the wild story. Tell me your tell a story about when you met someone out and about. You can do that as
Yeah, but that one will that one get like heated? I want heated.
Oh, you want
yeah.
over the mashed potatoes? You want a heated discussion?
Yeah, I kind of wanted like that episode of The Bear where the big fight breaks out.
Okay.
I want to just ruin Thanksgiving.
Okay, you want to? Oh, so you want to ruin your Thanksgiving? You think sports topics in your family can ruin Thanksgiving?
No, probably not mine. But you know, for the average listener,
okay,
a white male, 35 to 54, who is you know, diehard sports fan, probably for them.
And you don't want to use politics as your easy on-ramp into ruining Thanksgiving.
Hey, if you want to bring politics into sports, then you can definitely do that. But
should Christian Pulisic have danced like Trump? You could do that because that happened.
Oh yeah, man, where would you draft Darren Trump if you were an NBA team?
He's tall, he's gangly, but what's the dribble package like? I'm not sure.
Is he a stretch five?
Can he get up? Can he get his own shot? Can he be a rim protector? These are all things I need to know before I would draft him.
Man, I'm shocked he's not playing basketball. By the way,
I'm not.
I've seen the athleticism in that family. Doesn't seem too high. I'm not surprised.
That's true. That is true.
And you know, rich people think like basketball and stuff is like for the poor's.
Yeah, they don't need basketball to change their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, well, parents not playing basketball. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Sean, do you have any?
Well, Pete Rose just died. Going back to more old reliables. So Pete Rose, you know,
should he be in the hall?
Posthumously.
Yeah.
What do you think, Uncle Gary? By the way, pass the green bean casserole.
Well,
and then throw a fork at him. If you're at the Rums and Ollie.
I would tell Uncle Gary keep that green bean casserole away from me. Is what I would tell him. Where are the yams, Uncle Gary, and the mac and cheese? Pass that.
I like that one. So yeah, I mean, I just wanted to bring that. Do you want my Gladiator 2 review real quickly?
I thought it was one or the other. Now fine. Let's get to the other one.
It's a fake choice.
Yeah.
I'm just moving on. Yeah, I just want to keep the show moving.
Thanks. I appreciate your interest.
What we try to do.
I got you.
Keeping the flow smooth.
What's our number? 713-439-1562.
Our number. 713-439. No. Now you're gonna get me to say something that's not right anymore. That's the old number. What did you want to say about Gladiator 2?
Have you seen it yet?
No, I probably will see it this week, next week, during a matinee or something, when I get off of work.
Okay. I have a feeling it's going to be a really bad opening week for it.
Okay.
I went last night, right? I told you, I caught up in the hype. I like Gladiator. It's a good movie. It's, you know, every guy likes it, right? It's a guy movie.
Sure.
Honor, respect, ethics,
revenge,
all that fighting, blood, all that. Yeah, sex. Violence, all the good stuff, right?
Was there sex?
This one, like, I got caught up in the hype, and I went in, and I was like, oh, man, it could be sold out. For sure, it's going to be packed. There were four people there.
Four people?
It's going to be a terrible box office. The opening weekend box office is going to be bad.
That's disappointing. I mean, it doesn't affect me one way or the other, but I'm not locked in enough or hyped enough to go watch it opening weekend. But I did want to see it. Denzel has been on a rampage during the gauntlet, the junket. He has been saying a lot of things you don't expect Denzel Washington. You don't ever like to put on, oh, he's old so he can say whatever he wants thing. But Denzel's at that point where he's an older guy. He just says what he wants. And so his junket has been pretty cool. It's disappointing that the movie at least isn't living up to at least the hype I thought it had.
Yeah. I'll give you the only thing I will say about the movie is that you can absolutely wait to watch it at home and still get the same cinematic experience.
That's not good.
What I mean by that is that the CGI is not that good.
For the sharks and the rhino?
Yeah. It's not good. Like if you have a good sound system at home, you'll be fine. Just wait.
Oh.
Like that, it's not a game changing. Like Gladiator 1 was game changing. It looked awesome. It was a beautiful movie. The shots were really nice. The CGI for the time was great. I just feel like a Game of Thrones episode has better CGI than Gladiator 2.
Those are expensive episodes, but that's still rough. That's rough. So, performance-wise, who do you think was the best in the movie? Was it Paul Mescal?
Pedro Pascal.
Oh, Pedro was? Okay.
It was Pedro Pascal, the main character, the other guy, Mescal.
Yeah, Paul Mescal, yeah.
Paul Mescal. He kind of changed up his accent in the third act of the movie. That was kind of strange.
It's not great.
Yeah, but all of a sudden he became Roman in like 2 days. It was a strange thing. And then Denzel did like a Heath Ledger nod at one point. It was all over, man. It was all over. But I think people still like it. It's a fun movie.
Okay.
Right? Again, it's a fun movie, but I think you can wait.
All right. We got one review. I'm not sure Michael Carroll has seen it yet. He may be seeing it this weekend. We'll find out. So we'll see if they're dueling reviews or he feels the same way you do. Raheel Ramzanali, host of CityCast. He uses this show, as you heard, to workshop some things. We got breaking news?
Uh-oh.
We got breaking news.
What's the
and
news?
I'm glad Raheel's on for this.
Okay.
Kendrick Lamar has just dropped an album.
Oh!
At 11 o'clock. He dropped it 4 minutes ago.
4 minutes ago, Raheel?
For some reason.
Do you have your weekend plans changing now that Kendrick Lamar has his album out?
Whoa. Yeah, bye. I need to go listen to this new album.
Okay. Thank you, yeah, Raheel.
Sorry, Del. But he just dropped a random album right now?
At 11 a.m.
Yes, at 11 o'clock.
On a Friday.
4 minutes ago.
Oh, wow. They are truly not like us, Del. They are truly not like us.
I mean, no, we're not like you.
Bye, Deli Bear.
Don't call me that.
Bye, Sean.
Raheel Ramzanali.
Horn, Sean. Kentucky,
yes,
Texas, the true rivalry in the SEC.
Got to take care of business.
Yeah. Don't get ahead of yourself.
This one means more.
Just because the Aggies.
No, I'm not. No, I mean, this is a real rivalry game.
What's your biggest
game actually matters.
It does matter.
Kentucky. Yeah.
What's your greatest memory from Texas, Kentucky? I think that says it all.
Julius Randle and Miles Turner going at it?
Sure. That's it. That's Raheel Ramzanali, host of CityCast. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. He'll talk about way more important things there than he does here, I think. Yeah, he talks about what's going on in the city. That's more important. All right. Thanks to Raheel for that. Kentucky, Texas, A&M, Auburn. A lot of football to get to. We'll get to that when we come back. We will also hear from Matt Burke, your defensive coordinator, de facto. I mean, he doesn't call the plays or anything, but he's out there helping out, and he has some thoughts on his interaction with Daniil Hunter this past Monday. Daniil Hunter, let me go to work, is what he told Matt Burke, and Daniil Hunter certainly did in that second half. So we'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and moneyline.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
Ready to make the most of your summer? Enroll in summer classes at JJC. With sessions just 6 or 8 weeks long, you can earn credits quickly and still enjoy your summer. Whether you're starting your college journey, advancing your career, or transferring credits, JJC has something for everyone. Classes begin on May 19th, June 2nd, and June 30th. Visit jjc.edu/college to register today.